Here we are.
Welcome to Ray.
Here we are.
And Tay. Today.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, that's Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and yes, we do have a very, very nice little show, a little Father's Day special preview, right? You know, getting ready for Game 5 on Father's Day. That's kind of nice. After you enjoy the day, all the fathers, happy Father's Day out there, and then Sunday the game. So listen, you want to talk about NBA Finals and a little bit more with us, give us a call at 718-664-9098. As always, send us your emails at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. I know we're getting some in, Ray, as we talk about the top 15 players of all time, and hopefully today we get to 10 through 6. Also, hit us up at rayandtaytoday.com and rayandtaytoday at Twitter and Facebook. We really, really appreciate everybody listening, and we thank you, man. We see you listening. We see the ratings just growing and growing, so we really appreciate it. So, Ray, tell them what we're talking about, man. We got a little bit of everything, some golf, some stuff going on, man. U.S. Open.
Yeah, we've got some horrible weather in Philly. They got some much better, almost ideal conditions. So we got the U.S. Open golf going on right now. We've got some basketball. Obviously, we're going to get into the NBA Finals. That's going to be the heart of our show. We'll talk a little about injuries. We'll also talk, but before that, we'll talk a little bit about coaching carousel. We've got just announced the NBA hockey, so we'll talk about that. And then we'll get into this NBA Finals. We're coming up on Game 5.
We're losing you pretty bad, Ray. So definitely, we will get into
our 10th time NBA players.
Yep, 10 through 6, definitely. So right now, just so you know, we're not getting you too good. You're coming in and out. But let's start up with golf. Obviously, you said the U.S. Open, the weather has been horrible, but as they're winding down, Phil Mickelson is in the lead, -2, and you've got Luke Donald right behind him at -1. Ray, what do you think about Tiger, man? He shot sort of, I think he's +9, his worst 54 ever, they said.
Well, you know, it's interesting because that's right in his backyard in Marion, PA, so I don't know if that's, and they haven't had a U.S. Open since 81. So obviously, Tiger has not played there at a U.S. Open. So I don't know if he's going back home. I don't know if he's just having a bad round. The start and stop with the whole rain thing, you know, you just chalk it up to a bad round for Tiger. But what about Phil, the lefty? They said they had this quote on ESPN, putting the Phil in Philly. I like that, ESPN with the catchy little.
You know, his birthday, Father's Day, everything is falling in line for this guy. And I think everyone is just really rooting for Phil to win. I would like to see Phil win, you know. But you know, you've got the young guy. We've got Hunter Mahan. Even you've got Schwartzel's playing good at even. So guys are there.
Steve Stricker.
But it'd be yes, Stricker's there. Yeah, but you'd like to see Phil get it, man. You'd definitely like to see Phil get it. But Tiger, it looks like he might be a little injured. I don't know if you know, but he had a little issues with the elbow and wrist. So I don't know what's going on with that. I'm sure, you know, one thing about Tiger, he doesn't complain. He's sort of like Dwayne Wade, right? Dwayne Wade doesn't talk about the knee. Tiger's not going to talk about injuries. So you always respect gamers when it comes to, you know, them playing and not crying about any injuries.
Yeah, that's for sure. So real quick, in hockey, I don't know if we got into this, but Alex Ovechkin wins the MVP. So, again, great regular season player, doesn't really have that much success under his belt in the postseason. But Ovechkin wins the Hart Trophy.
Well, you know, congrats to him. I mean, I think him and Crosby are sort of still the marketing guys for the league. But you know, you gotta win, and I think you're seeing right now, honestly, the two best teams. I mean, obviously, triple overtime for game one, and game two is tipping off right now. You know, NBC's got the golf on, so it's on NBC Sports Network. The hockey is coming on, and then it will come on NBC. But, you know, you see sometimes that the great player in hockey, not always, you know, usually in the NBA, some of the great players get to the finals. But in hockey, you know, sometimes we don't see the best players in the NHL finals. So, you know.
Yeah, you need a great goalie.
Yeah, no, you will get a great goalie. You definitely will get a great goalie. But also, man, I just want to talk about this football. Gronkowski, back surgery, Ray. Another surgery. He goes under the knife Tuesday. I don't know if this guy's going to play 16 games, let alone be ready for the start of the season. The Patriots have got some issues, I think, with their offense, man. They need to sign some more guys.
Well, that makes letting Wes Welker go even that much more painful, because they must have known that Gronk is going to go under the knife several times. So they took a calculated gamble, and you know what? Aaron Hernandez gets banged up too. So they've got Danny Amendola, who gets banged up all the time, Aaron Hernandez, who gets banged up, and Gronkowski, who's coming off of what? It'll be his fifth surgery in this offseason. So, yeah,
and then they're relying on Michael Jenkins and Donald Jones, used to play for Buffalo. I mean, those are their two main receivers. To me, I'm like, hey, go sign the veteran T.O., give him a chance. You'll have somebody reliable that can work the middle, who's durable and can catch some balls. And speaking of somebody that, you know, with a big name who's now 30, the Jets finally got a tight end, because you're not going to start off the season with, I can't even remember the backup's name, but Kellen Winslow, KW2, Kellen Winslow Jr. signs with the Jets. How you like that one, Ray?
I'm a soldier. Remember his press conference when he was at Miami? He was a soldier.
Well, listen,
you know what?
I want him to be a soldier for the Jets, man.
Just need playmakers, and if he plays, then come on to MetLife Stadium. You know, we need some playmakers. I can't believe he's 30, though.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely need some playmakers. So, you know, real quick before we get into the finals talk and stuff like that, you know, just a little NBA stuff. Seems like Doc Rivers – well, first of all, congrats to Jason Kidd, right? The Nets get their man. They give him a chance. He's only the fourth coach in NBA history to go from, you know, playing his last season straight to coaching. You know, Mike Dunleavy was the last to do it, you know, with the Lakers. I think Jason Kidd is going to do a good job, and I think Mark Jackson has sort of paved the way. And I think the fact that Darren Williams respects him, likes him, and idolizes him is what you need. But I also think, you know, like he said, he's been preparing for this the last couple of years since, you know, before Dallas and when he went in Dallas. And I think he was a coach on the court. So congrats and kudos to Prokhorov and the Nets. I think Billy King got the right guy, and I think Kidd will be good. What do you feel about Jason Kidd in Brooklyn?
It's so funny that he has Lawrence Frank on his staff, which is funny because that's an interesting little dynamic, right? Lawrence,
yeah,
him to those two NBA finals and right after with Byron Scott, actually. It's to be determined how successful he'll be, but it is kudos, like you said, kudos to the Nets for taking a chance, for shaking it up, not bringing in one of these guys that's you know, been around the league for four or five teams, and
right,
give it a chance. Why not? Look, they have big aspirations, so give Jason Kidd a chance. Now, you know, what that'll do, though, that'll anger guys like Patrick Ewing and all these other ex-players that have put in their time as assistant coaches and, you know, really want to prove themselves.
Well, you know, Patrick got a job, though, as an assistant in Charlotte. So I was glad to hear that for Patrick.
Well, I mean, he's employed, but Jason Kidd, you know, missing a three at the end of, you know, at the end of the year,
yeah,
the next day he's a head coach. So, but, you know, Kidd is respected. It's interesting, too. I was thinking about it. I was saying to myself, where did Kidd lie in the spectrum of Phil Jackson, Pat Riley, you know, Doug Collins to some degree? These were all essentially role players in the NBA who turned out to be, you know, excellent coaches. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you had guys that were stars who couldn't coach, right? Thomas wasn't a really good coach. Magic, you know, for his brief stint, wasn't a great coach. Larry Bird turned out to be pretty good. But we've seen that the better you are as a player, usually the worse you are as a coach. So Jason's a Hall of Famer. Where is he going to be as a coach, right? You tend to see the coaches who work better are the kind of the role players as players. But Jason Kidd was a blue-collar guy. He just happened to be a Hall of Famer, you know?
Right, and like he said, towards the end of his career, hey, he's been coming off the bench. So I think he's sort of seen all spectrums of it, you know? He's been a role player too. So I kind of like Jason Kidd, honestly. I really think, especially because we've seen him work on his own game and the evolution, right? We know he couldn't shoot, and then he became a shooter, a good rebounder, a passing guard, one that can penetrate, very unselfish. I think he's got the principles. You know, he got a lot of steals. He wasn't a great defender, but a decent defender and got a lot of steals. I think he's got the principles from his own game to bring into coaching. So I'm excited. And then also, Ray, the Clippers look like they're trying to get Doc Rivers, but he's got a no competition clause, so he can't basically go coach another team unless the Celtics say okay, and they're not saying okay. So then the rumor is the Clippers are trying to get Rivers, Garnett, and Pierce. So there might be some sort of trade stuff going on with the Clippers and the Celtics, but also Dwight Howard and Chris Paul want to play together. So the off season of the NBA will heat up after the draft, and July 1st, it will be Dwight Howard drama, Paul drama, and more drama, and a lot of fun, and a lot of, you know, wondering where people are going to go. I don't know what you think about this, but it's going to be a mess.
Yeah, well, it started last year or 2 years ago when the whole, you know, big three in Miami and then the big three in New York, and, you know, it makes a sexy conversation. And we'll see what actually happens. But that is pretty interesting, though, that now suddenly the Clippers were nobody wanted to go play for Donald Sterling in L.A., and now everybody wants to go play for the Clippers. It's the cool, sexy place to be now. And then Paul and Howard, that's interesting, man. You know, I think Chris Paul could get the most out of Dwight Howard. So if I'm Dwight Howard, I wouldn't mind playing with Chris Paul. I know Dwight Howard has a chance to win the max, or to earn the max in L.A., but then you've got with Kobe, and I don't know how well they actually get along and play. But I wouldn't mind if I was Dwight Howard hitching my fortunes to Chris Paul.
Yeah, no, you're definitely right. So real quick, before we get to the NBA Finals stuff, Luke Donald went to plus one, and so he's a little bit back now. And then Phil finishes off at minus one, and Hunter Mahan is even. So that's how we, you know, and tied with a bunch of guys, Schwartzel and Stryker at even. But going into tomorrow, Sunday, Father's Day, Phil Mickelson minus one. So, Ray, let's do it. Game three, you were right. You said Spurs. I said Heat. But goodness gracious, did you think that Green and Neal – and just the Spurs shooting lights out would kill the Heat the way they did in Game 3. LeBron didn't even look like he tried. Bosch was a mess. What did you think about, you know, Game 3 and just our Tar Heel, Danny Green, just doing it up?
Well, it's funny because we had said that he had a great game in Game 2 in the loss, and then he comes out and plays a game of his life in Game 3. So we're thinking, wow, could you do better in Game 2? So that was good for him, great for him. And then, you know, Pop always gives you that first game at home, you know, give him a couple days to prepare and that first game at home, and everything was clicking for the Spurs, and then they just pulled away in the second half. So, I expected 1-1-1-1-1 up to a critical Game 7. So, you know, Pop, and I wouldn't take – these are two veteran teams now, so you go out either way. It's just one game. And as we saw, that Game 3 turned into, you know, a Heat Game 4. They showed up. They showed up, and Look at Dwayne Wade. So talk to me about Dwayne Wade in game four. What did you think about that?
Ray, I got to tell you, it's so funny, right? Because, you know, he has 32, and LeBron's holding the ball with, you know, the clock running down, and he shoots the three to get 33 to, you know, be the leading scorer. So I had to laugh. You know, it's like they were one-upping each other. But that was Dwayne Wade that honestly makes me say he is without a doubt ahead of George Gervin and Drexler, as you know, and right there, maybe close to Jerry West, is the top, you know, probably number four shooting guard of all time. When Dwayne Wade plays like that, ladies and gentlemen, he is just unstoppable. It was incredible, Ray. I mean, he did everything, and his energy and that little Euro step they call with the little, you know, when he sort of brought it over and then dunked it. Oh, my gosh. Ginobili does it, and he does like a little floater. When Dwayne Wade does it, he brings it home, Jerome. That was nasty. I went crazy. I was like, yo, I love D-Wade. Sometimes you just feel for him because, you know, he really – he has the injuries, but he's also let LeBron take over because it's more like you could see that LeBron is more fragile than D-Wade mentally. But when D-Wade wants to dominate, woo, he could put up one great game better than anybody. He really can.
What percentage do you think he's at physically?
Honestly, I'd say 75.
I mean, we don't know.
No, I'd say 75. I really would. He's not healthy, but you saw, you know, I guess mentally he can go through the pain and give you that one night. I don't know if he'll be able to do that for game five, but I bet you game six in Miami, whether it's to win the series or to tie it up to push the seven, Dwayne Wade will give you one more game. I said before I thought the series would go seven. It depends on tonight what happens, but I'll say this. Look, if Wade can give you two good games in the series, that's what the Heat would need to win it. And I truly still believe that. So if he can give me what he did in four, and then he gives you six, and now it looks like Bosh is awake. If Bosh can stay consistent and do what he did, I think the Spurs could be in trouble. I really do, because, man, game four, you know, what did he have, like 20 and 13? You know, I mean, Bosh really played some ball, and forget about Ray Allen's quiet 14 off the bench.
Right. That's their formula, right? That's their formula. I mean, they got nothing out of Mike Miller in 21 minutes, but they got, you know, to get the game out of Mario Chalmers that you got earlier in the series, that's not going to happen. But you can definitely get, you know, it was 33, 32, and 20 from the big three, and Ray Allen coming off the bench, you know, for 14. But the question is, on the other side, in terms of injuries, where do you think Tony Parker is? And then if Tony Parker's only at 50%, if that hamstring holds up, you know, do you think the Spurs are in trouble? Because they really don't have somebody who replaces Parker, right? They have Ginobili doing a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and but the Eagle game is totally different. And
yeah, Corey Joseph is not really ready to replace Parker. You're right about that. You know, Ray, I got to be honest with you. I think, you know, Parker was just incredible in that first half with 15 points. He played, you know, just incredible. Before I even talk about whatever, but the one thing I'll say about Parker, on playing the way he did in the first half on that hamstring, I would say to me, nobody in the NBA can score or finish. You know, you got to have Westbrook and Rose, healthy D. Rose, but Parker's right there with the three of them. You know, I think Parker is better than Chris Paul in the sense that he gets into the basket penetrating, but he will score and finish better than Paul. I've seen Paul sometimes with these Clipper games where he couldn't pull his team, you know, to the win, where Griffin and the big guy, Jordan, couldn't get any baskets. And Chris Paul, you know, he'll penetrate and score sometimes, but not the way Parker's incredible, Ray. So I think the Spurs are in trouble if Parker's not at 100%, and he probably isn't. If he's not at least at 80, the Heat will win in six or seven, definitely. They need him. And Ginobili, I think, you know, there's rumors now Ginobili's saying that he might retire after this. So,
yeah, his body, those two together, they take, you know, but they show up, right? They're a little fragile, and they're always playing hurt. But, you know, those games and those minutes add up, especially all those seasons in the playoffs, and you know, instead of playing 82 games, they're playing, you know, 100 games plus the preseason, and then playing Olympic, you know, adds up. All those minutes add up, you know, playing for France and for Argentina. So, yeah, those two, this might be their last hurrah.
Do you think Duncan will retire?
I don't think so. I think he's got another year or two. Plus, this big man, you know, because he can always rebound, he can be a very, very solid role player, right? We think he's the best power forward of all time, slash center, right? He's been playing last 5 years as a center, but let's call him a power forward. But he can always give you 2-3 more years of just 25 minutes a game, you know, give you 7, 8, 9 rebounds, a block.
Yeah, but you think he's a – I don't know if Tim Duncan is the type to just sort of hang on. That's kind of hanging on. You think Tim Duncan is that type? I don't think so.
You'd be right, but I'm not talking about, you know, Haslam numbers, not to disrespect you, Dennis Haslam. But, you know, I'm still thinking Timmy could give you, you know, 14-9 and 2 blocks. That, you know, that's still a borderline all-star, considering big men in this league are hard to come by. But I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, not being, you know, not being just a role player. So it's, frankly, to figure out what he wants to be for the last
few years
of his career.
Right, and he definitely had one of his, you know, not one of his best, but a good season. I got to tell you this, looking for, let's just get into really game five. I think the Heat and the Spurs, you know, this is the game where I think we'll see the best of both teams. I really do. I think they have the extra day rest, Thursday to Sunday. I think it's, you know, the whole world is sort of watching, right? It's Father's Day. It's Sunday night. It's 8 o'clock. It's a little earlier. I think right here, this is going to be the game of the ages. And I think as long as Parker can sort of give you enough, this game will probably go down to the buzzer, where we've had blowouts and all this different stuff in the last two games. This is going to be the game that's the classic of this series. And I think you're going to see the big three versus the big three, and then it's going to be the battle of Green and Neal sort of versus Miller, Battier, and Ray Allen to pull out the difference. You know what I mean? I really think when the Spurs go inside the Duncan, good things happen. I think they have to stop forgetting about Duncan. That's the key for the Spurs.
Well, he had his 20, so and he did on 10 shots. So he just kept going to the free throw game. So I agree that this is you know, a healthy thing for the Spurs, especially considering you've got to pace yourself if you're Tony Parker and you're Monty, right? You can't play all out for 48 minutes, or, you know, they don't end up playing 48, they end up playing 35 or so. You can't go all out for those kind of minutes. So I do think that if Tim Duncan can get into some paint activity, get some foul trouble on, you know, the role players, especially box for the role players for the Heat, get them in some foul trouble, I think that will help. And I've been saying this all along, so I'm going to stick to this. I think this series is going 7. I think this series is going to be 1-1-1-1-1-1-1 until game 7. So, you know, if I had to put my neck on the line, I think San Antonio pulls out this game at home. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I want to say Heat, but I kind of feel you. I feel like Parker and the guys will give you enough, and the crowd will push them to a close win. I'm thinking, you know, more like, you know, like 93-90, but I do think, like you're saying, the Heat will get 6, and then they'll wind up pulling out game 7. I think LeBron could give you that, you know, 40-10-10, or, you know, 36 and whatever. I mean, his 33 was nasty. I got to say that. LeBron played great, and he sat out a while, too, while Wade was doing his thing. So, I'm excited, man. This is a good NBA final, though, Ray. We're guaranteed 6 games, so as NBA fans, the season's coming to an end, and, you know, we'll be talking about the draft and try to maybe get Seth Davis on and some guys to come on and talk about the NBA draft with us, you know, before the 27th. But this is great, you know. It could be game 7 on the 20th, and, you know, hopefully, I don't know if you'll be in the air or you'll be back, but hopefully you get to see game 7, my man.
No, I'm back. I'm back. No, I got that. I got my plans locked.
All right. So let's get to it. We've been getting a lot of emails. I had a couple emails. I had Mike from Flushing was sort of upset that I had Shaq at 13. He was like, no way, Shaq is a top 10 player and a top 4 center. So
I got your back.
Yeah, I was going to say Ray and Mike are together because, you know, we'll talk about it now in this one. Ray's got him pretty high. But let's just recap. We're going to try to give you 10 to 6. I'll do mine first. So I had 15, Jerry West, 14, Dr. J, Julius Erving. And, Ray, when you come home, you have to go to NBA TV and watch The Doctor. It was a great documentary on Dr. J. It gave me chills, and it's just incredible. He's the gentleman in the class of the league, but without a doubt. Number 13, this is what Tay had. I had Shaq. So that's why Mike from Flushing had to get at me. At 12, I had Larry Bird, and at 11, I had Charles Barkley. Ray, at 15, Ray had Isaiah Thomas, and his mother does it, not like the Bible, just so you know. Isiah is Isaiah Thomas. Number 14, Jerry West. Number 13, Dr. Julius Erving. Number 12, Ray had Hakeem Abdul-Olajuwon. And then on number 11, Ray had Oscar Robertson, one of the all-time greats. Ray, let's go. Why don't you go first this time? Who do you have at number 10?
I have the legend, Larry Bird. And, you know, there's not much about this guy other than he was just an all-around asset. I mean, he got a three-time MVP, a three-time champ. He lost a few times at the finals to Magic. That was his contemporary. I think he went 1-2 in the final, or 1-3 in the finals versus Magic. 1-2.
1-2. Yeah.
He beat Houston. He won 86. Olajuwon, and he beat Moses. But Larry Legend is just great. I mean, the guy, you know, like I said, he has 9 rebounds a game. You don't think of a rebounder. But he averaged, you know, if his back didn't give out on him, think about.
Yeah, he could have had another 4 years.
Been even better. But yeah, Larry Legend is number 10.
Okay, and Ray, just a quick note to warm your heart. Who knows what Larry would have had if Len Bias stayed alive and got to play? How many more rings and MVPs and just a longer career, right? Len Bias would have extended McHale and Bird, but R.I.P. Len Bias, man. That one hurts all of us deep down. Yo, Terps. So number 10, Ray, Tay, I got to go with who you had at 11. I got Oscar. Oscar was just, you know, Ray said it, all, you know, the triple-double season, but he almost had like 4 or 5 of them. He only had the one where it was 30, 12, and 11. That's one of the sickest seasons ever, his third year in the league. But, you know, what a scorer, what a player. He averaged 20, 25, 9, and 7. That's ridiculous. So that's my number 10. Who you got at 9, Ray?
Number 9, I got LeBron James. So I actually have LeBron with his 4th MVP sitting above Larry Bird, who's got 3 MVPs and 3 titles. Definitely if LeBron wins this title, you could probably, you know, put that in cement. But right now I have LeBron eking out Larry Bird just because he is as complete a player as there is. Maybe mentally not as tough as Jordan and some of these other guys, but everything else basketball-wise, LeBron James is as good as it gets. And by the way, he's built almost like Karl Malone. So
basically, I know, right? That's kind of crazy. It's funny. I'll just say this: Ray and I have the same in 8, but at 9 for me, I have Hakeem Olajuwon. Ray, to me, I think, you know, being top 10 all the time in steals, and, you know, some seasons, you know, he led the NBA in steals for 2 seasons. One time he had like 4.6 in one season, you know, scoring about 23, 24 a game, giving you, you know, 11 rebounds. I mean, Olajuwon was, he's incredible, but yes, he did not get to play Jordan in the finals, but they did have some great battles in the regular season, and Olajuwon was tough, man. I think Olajuwon never had great teams to go up against Jordan, but I would have loved to seen them face off 1 year in the finals. That would have been the ultimate. So I have Olajuwon at 9.
If, if he's a top 10 player, which I think he is, maybe 11 on my list, he's probably, if you look at that list, the only player on that list that's underrated. He doesn't get the love.
No, he really doesn't get the love. And, you know, like I said, he swept Shaq, so that's why I have him ahead of Shaq. He's my fourth best center. So number eight, we have the same. So just for time, tell us your number eight.
Tim Duncan. Since the guy stepped in the league as a rookie out of Wake Forest, he went out there and proved that he's the best power forward of all time. Last 5 or 6 years been playing center, but let's call him a power forward. The guy's great. I mean, four-time MVP, has a four-time NBA champion, three-time finals MVP, league MVP, has a chance to win his fifth championship. The guy's incredible. Tim Duncan, just, you know, the best blue-collar, you know, just show up and do his thing, defends, rebounds, scores, block shots. Tim Duncan.
Yeah, I got Timmy, too. They call him Big Fundamentals. You know, I mean, this could be his fourth ring. I mean, fifth ring. He had a great season. You see, he's still great when he gets the ball in the playoffs. There's not much else to say, man. I mean, he was great in 99, 03, 05, 07, all those finals. And Tim Duncan is, he's solid, you know, 21 a game. You could maybe a little bit more scoring. His stats don't blow you away, but he's just the best power forward ever, what he is. And lately he's been playing center. I know Ray likes to say that, but still, he and Barkley will tell you he is the best power forward ever. Ray, who do you have at seven?
So at seven, I have Shaq. I mean, you know, I like Olajuwon's game better, and I think Olajuwon is, frankly, the better player in terms of skills. But in terms of impact on the game, Shaquille O'Neal, despite the fact that he didn't shoot free throws, dominated the center position. You know, he was a force. He was like Lawrence Taylor in football. You always needed to know on every possession, where offensively and defensively, where Shaq was at all times. So to me, with his three NBA championships in L.A. and his one with Dwayne Wade and the Heat, that's what puts him over Olajuwon for me. Yes, he did lose to Olajuwon, but he was a baby. You know, he was, 21 years old, 22 years old.
Yeah, but that loss to Detroit, Ray, was really bad.
Yeah, that's true. That loss in five to Detroit, when Detroit won theirs in 04. Yeah, that was bad. But I still think four titles puts him at number seven all time, and his dominance, his absolute dominance.
All right. I feel you on Shaq. I don't got no hate for Shaq, even though, you know, Mike from Flushing thinks I do. I have him at 13. He's still top 15 great to me. And at my number seven, I have to go with probably one of the greatest Lakers ever. Definitely could be, you know, considered that. Magic Irving Johnson is my number seven player. I think Magic, to me, 5-4 in the finals. I mean, just think about that, 9 finals. Granted, he did always have a great team. He only averaged 19 points a game, you know, but he gave you the 11 assists and you know, about 6 rebounds. One thing about Magic that's so incredible, to be 6'9", play the point guard. He beat Dr. J, you know, when Kareem didn't play, and he played center. And basically they won 4-2 in the finals. And, you know, that game 6, he pulled it out, Magic, by himself. I think Magic is probably one of the greatest winners of all time with the 5 rings. I think he has, you know, obviously we know his career was cut down short, so you don't know if he could have got another one. But I think Magic, him and Bird and Dr. J and then Jordan, they saved the NBA, man. That Bird and Magic rivalry was incredible. And Magic, anytime you needed a clutch play, whether it was the pass or the shot, he did it. And, I mean, he's Irving Magic Johnson, man. That's my number seven, and you got to love Magic, you know?
Yeah, I think what more can I say? I mean, real quick, he's my number six. So, you know, his win is unbelievable. 9 times representing the West, 5 times winning, and beating all the people he had to beat, right? So he beat Dr. J for his first title. Then he beat Bird. You know, this guy went through the legend of, you know, maybe the West wasn't as strong then. The East was stronger with the Celtics and Milwaukee.
He didn't beat Jordan, though.
He didn't beat Jordan. That's right. Jordan's first one in 91. He lost to Jordan. But Irvin Magic Johnson, I mean, what more can you say? You know, the guy's incredible. So, yeah, number six for me.
Well, for me, my number six could be surprising. And real quick, before I say this, for me, I'll just say this. It's Kobe. But it's so interesting because Mike Francesa was talking about his, like, top ten or whatever. He likes Jerry West and Oscar Robertson over Kobe. He says, no way that is Kobe better than Oscar and Jerry. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I just want to throw that out to you. But I'm going to say this about Kobias. I call him Kobias and Kobayashi. Like Oscar, averaged 25 a game. He didn't have the 9 and 7 like Oscar. Kobe has 5 rebounds and 4 assists. 1.1, you know, 1.5 steals, but 25 a game. Kobe is, look, this season, before he got hurt, Kobe was averaging, you know, he wound up getting 27.3 a game. That's incredible. Kobe Bryant is probably one of the most clutch shooters ever, okay? You know, his greatest season, he averaged 35 points a game, which is, you know, just ridiculous in itself. I think Kobe getting the 3 with Shaq was incredible, and they should have had 4. But getting the 2 with Gasol, because to me, Gasol is not really a Hall of Famer, Ray. So then, to me, even though he played great, especially in that second one when Kobe was bricking it up against the Celtics, Gasol got that win for them in that game 7 where Kendrick Perkins wasn't really healthy, right? But to me, Kobe, man, it's Kobe. That's all I got to say. It's Kobe. You know what I mean? Like, Kobe's he's not quite Mike, but he's Kobe, you know? So
he's his own guy, and he's incredible. Yeah, we'll pick this
that's
up
my
next
number six.
Time. Yeah,
yeah.
We're up to the top 5, so we'll get into that next show. But, yeah, we had a great episode, you know, great talking to NBA and NBA Finals and NBA nostalgia. So thanks for tuning in. We had a great time. Get ready for your Father's Day present from the NBA. So happy Father's Day out there to all the fathers, including Tay. So
thank you,
we'll
sir.
See you next time.
So yeah, hopefully we'll be back on Tuesday for game 6 to rock and roll with you. We'll see how Ray's gallivanting around the globe. Ray, tell the listeners, man, where you at, man? You in Laos? You in Thailand? Where you at, man?
Vietnam. What do you know about
Woo!
Vietnam? He's here. They got NBA here. They got everything.
Don't bring home the opium, man.
No.
All right. So great show. Safe travels to Ray and happy Father's Day to everybody. And I'm just looking forward to it. I love being a dad. So thanks for talking sports with friends. And we will catch you soon. Tuesday, Wednesday, Monday, sometime. And hey Ray.
Twitter.
Oh yeah, you got the Spurs, right?
Got the Spurs.
You got the Spurs, and I guess I'll go with you with the Spurs. Good show, man. Peace. Oh. Stakes is high. Remember that. Ray and Tay.